Well, if you take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 14, as promised, we're going to talk a little bit about soul winning tonight. And you can call the title of this, The Attitude of Soul Winning. If you found your place, and out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you'll please stand, if you are physically able, Luke in chapter 14, and we're going to begin in verse 16 and read down through verse 24. The Bible says, "Then he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. That's funny. I was just about to say, I've got to go prove her. So, anyways, it was the other two. I don't know. Never mind. Okay. Let's stay true to the scripture here. Okay. Now, so that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And his servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Most of the time, people focus on these people and the conversation that they have with the master, or with the master's servant, rather. But tonight I'm not going to go into that. This passage, you can really go into a lot of different topics. You can apply and make application to many different things. But tonight I want to focus on the servant. I don't know if I've heard a message where the preacher takes this passage of scripture and focuses on the servant. Most of the time they focus on the master, right? Or they focus on these people that give the excuse. Or they focus on who they went and got afterwards to come in and fill the house because the supper was prepared. But I want to look at the servant tonight, and I want to use this as the idea of the attitude of soul winning that we ought to have day by day. Are we not the servants of God as believers in Jesus Christ? Okay? And if you will, we are those types of servants that have chosen to be with Him and chosen to serve Him. We've taken the all and driven it through our ears, saying we want to be here. We want to be in service. We are not being held against our will. We are not here of someone else's accord. I'm here of my own accord. I want to be a servant of God. I have chosen to be a servant of God through Jesus Christ, my Savior. So we have a place of service. And in verse 16, Jesus begins this story, and he says, A certain man made a great supper and bade many. Okay, well, one would think that the master made the meal and invited everybody. Okay, but he has servants for that. And the servant was the one that went out at his master's bidding to bid these to come. You understand, folks, when Jesus came to this earth, He spoke entirely that this was His Father's business and His Father's work, and His Father sent Him, and He was just being an obedient son. He was being obedient to the Father. Folks, we have the same fulfillment. We are just being obedient to the Master, obedient to the Father. This salvation is not of us. It's of God.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So, but we're the ones that have the opportunity, or if you will, the duty, to go out and bid them to come. That's our responsibility. The servant, whatever the master says, whatever the father says, that's what we're supposed to do. When Jesus was having difficulty, if you will, with his flesh and the sorrow of giving up the life here on this earth, you understand that was a difficulty. Okay, Jesus as God was not struggling within himself as God. He was struggling with the flesh part that didn't want to die. And he said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You know, folks, we have things in our lives day by day, week by week, year by year, that we want to accomplish. Things that we have desire of. Things, we have our will, and then there's God's will. There has to come a point in time where we just say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. You understand that this servant didn't have just one duty per chance. He had other things that he needed to accomplish. And in our story here, he goes out and he says to these people, hey, you're supposed to come. And you're supposed to come. The master said you're... And he went out and does his job. He comes back and he showed his Lord all these things. He said, Master, I went and did what you said, but none of these guys are coming. They all have different things that they're doing and they don't want to come. So the master says to him, he says, okay. He says he's angry. He's not angry at the servant. He's angry that these people didn't respond. So he says to his servant there in verse 21, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So he gives them another task to do. So he goes out quickly and he does that and he comes back and he says, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. So he sends him out again, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You understand that sometimes God's going to send us out and send us out and send us out and send us out. What kind of attitude are we going to have toward God? Again? They didn't listen the first time. Why should I go out again? I went out the first time and they gave all these excuses and now you want me to go get a lower class of people? And now you want me to go out and you want me to actually give some effort. You want me to compel anybody that I find to come in. He could have had a bad attitude about this. He could have had a negative outlook as a servant, saying, this is not going to work. We're never going to fill this place up. We're never going to get the job done. And guess what? I'm going to come back, and he's going to send me out there again. What's he going to want me to do next? Bring in the dogs and the cats and the goats and the sheep and all that stuff? I mean, he could have got a nasty attitude about it toward his master. Come on now. Over and over again, in this day and time, as a preacher and as a full-time Christian worker, if you will, I hear people say things about the bus ministry and about soul winning and about churches like ours that just doesn't work anymore. People aren't listening. They're not hearing. They're not coming in. You need to change your plan. You need to, you know, do things to get people in. And you know, why don't we just be obedient? Was the master in full control of what was going on? He was. Did he have a plan? Yeah. And it's his plan. I'm just the servant. I don't get to have an attitude about it. Because it's not mine to have. I just get to do what he tells me to do. I just get to go where he tells me to go and to invite who he tells me to invite. And it doesn't matter the results. It doesn't matter what happens. It only matters that I do the job and I do it with the right spirit and the right attitude. Folks, it doesn't matter if I go out and I knock on 100 doors and I don't see anyone get saved. My attitude is to be a positive attitude. I have done the work. Lord, it is done. As thou hast commanded. Lord, I went out and told him, but this guy said he didn't have time because he bought a piece of ground, and this guy didn't have time because he bought some oxen, and this person just got married, so he doesn't have time to come to church. And God, I went out and I told these people about your son, and nobody wanted to hear. I quit. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm not taking that rejection anymore. I'm not going to waste my time anymore on this. Do you understand that none of that mattered? Because he was the servant, doing what the master told him to do. It didn't matter that those people were giving excuses. It didn't matter that they didn't come. It didn't matter that it made the master angry. The servant was faithful. The servant didn't have any investment in that. He didn't have anything. He was the servant of the master. It was his master's time. It was his master's effort. It was his master's doing, because he belonged to the master. You see, folks, the problem we have is that we think it's all ours. It's my time that's being wasted. It's my feelings that are getting hurt. It's me that they're rejecting. None of that's true. They're rejecting the master. They're wasting the master's time. They're not listening to the master. It's not that they're not listening to you. We have to understand that our attitude has to be one of service to the master. You understand that as Jesus went up into heaven in Acts chapter 1, he left the disciples with something to do, right? He said, hey, go and wait for the promise of the Father. And he told them that they were going to be witnesses and they were going to do these things. And so guess what? They went away. They stopped gazing up into heaven, right? Jaws on the ground going, whoa. You know, and they picked up their bottom lip and they went back into town. And the Bible tells us that when they were come in and went into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And the Bible says that when Peter, in the next verse, when Peter stood up and he addressed them, there were about 120 gathered together in that upper room. You suppose they had questions? Suppose they had disputings and things that they didn't understand. Well, how long is this going to take? When is the promise going to come? Well, how long do we have to sit in this room? How long do we have to wait? When is it going to... You can understand, right? But the Bible does tell us in Acts chapter 2 that they were all in one accord in one place and the Holy Spirit of God came upon them. Folks, we need to be available. We need to be ready. We need to be in one accord in one place. We need to be in prayer and supplication. We need to be waiting on the word from the master. Do you wait in anticipation? Do you have an attitude of anticipation, an attitude of obedience to the master, an attitude of anticipation of what the master is going to say next? You know, this servant, as we kind of look through this story, and again, not a lot is told to us about this servant, but we see the tendency of this servant is to be ready at the master's beck and call. The Bible tells us he sent his servant at supper time. That means the servant was ready to be sent. He was there. He was ready to be sent whenever the master needed him sent to go and do what he was supposed to do. We see again when he comes back, he says to him, go out quickly into the streets. Oh, boom, I'm there. He comes back, it's done, as thou hast said. We see a servant that is attentive to the master. He's in anticipation. Folks, these people in the early church, they had just seen Jesus go up into heaven. He told them, go and wait. How long? 6 hours? 12 hours? 24 hours? 48 hours? 72 hours? I mean, it's almost been 2,000 years since Jesus went up. He said he's coming again. Behold, I come quickly. Wow. That's slow. Come on now. It's about our attitude. We have an attitude of anticipation. Do we have a Lord, what wilt thou have me to do attitude? I'm ready, Lord. I'm here. Over in Acts chapter 8, Philip was in the middle of an evangelistic outreach and ministry, and revival had broken out, and people were getting saved, and so much so that the apostles had to come up from Jerusalem to kind of help out. And just as they start to depart and go back to Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit says to Philip, hey, I want you to go over here. Now? Right now? There's a revival going on here. I need to stay. I'm the one that was in charge of this revival. And you want me to go? He said, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is in the desert. And he arose and went. What was his attitude? I'm available. Okay. I'm going to go. We need to be ready to go when God says to go. We need to be in anticipation. Does my master need me today? Listen, do you wake up in the morning and just have the thought, will I get a chance to tell someone about Jesus today? Do you have that anticipation? Or does that thought not even cross your mind? And you talk to person after person after person after person after person throughout the day. And not one time do you think of, did God want me to talk to them about the Lord? Did God want me to mention Jesus Christ? Did God want me to hand out a gospel tract? No, folks, we need to have an attitude of anticipation. I believe that this servant was the kind of servant that was always there. Maybe he was at the other end of a little bell system. As soon as the master rang that bell, I mean, he was, oh, yes, sir. I mean, what is God going to have to do to get a hold of you to go out and bid them to come in? You understand that this certain man made a great supper and he bade many. There was much planning that went into this and all these things. These servants were involved in it. They knew what was going on. Jesus had to corral his disciples as they were coming back from town on a trip where Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. And I've told you this supposition before. This is 100% my opinion. Okay? I promised you I'd always tell you that. Right? This is not necessarily the biblical account as far as what's recorded in Scripture, but this is what I think happened. They got to the well, The disciples went into town to buy food. Now, that's fact. Okay? My supposition is they walked down the same path that the woman walked up to get to the well. And my supposition is that they passed by her and they didn't say anything about Jesus to her. My supposition further goes that they went into town. They had never been to that town. They didn't know where to buy food, so they had to talk to some people there to buy food. Again, another supposition. And they didn't tell them about Jesus. Because the Bible says when the woman got saved, she went back into town and she brought the whole town out to Jesus saying, "You need to hear this guy." And while she was gone away to go do that, they came back with the food and he chastises them about the harvest. Saying, "Hey guys, open your eyes. Look up. The fields are white already unto harvest. Say not ye that are yet 4 months into the harvest." I think he did it with a tone of... That's what I think. In the nicest sense of the word. I think he was upset with them. That this woman who had had five husbands and was living with one that wasn't her husband would be more of a soul winner than these guys that were walking with Jesus, had left all, forsaken all, and followed him, etc. It's all about our attitude. I think he let him know it. You understand that God wants us to be a soul winner. He wants us to have an attitude of obedience. He wants to have us to have an attitude of attentiveness, being ready for the thing that's next. Hey, listen, the Bible tells us to be ready to give an answer to every man. It tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God. It tells us to go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It tells us to go and to teach them all things. How can I teach anybody anything that I don't know myself? I can't. So I need to learn. I need to grow. I need to develop. Why? So I can win people to Christ. You know, I ought to be a better soul winner today than I was 10 years ago. And honestly, folks, I ought to be a better student of the Bible today than I was 10 years ago. And thankfully, I can say I was. That doesn't mean I was very much 10 years ago, though. But I've been saved since 1985. That's a long time. I know, I'm still a young pup, but listen to me. That's a lot of years to be saved. Let's see, I'd be coming up on 40 in a couple years, right? Did I do my math right? 85 to 25? That's 40 years. I've almost been saved 40 years. I should know a little bit about winning people to Christ, right? I should have grown to a place where I could be one. Listen, this servant obviously was the kind of servant that could be trusted. I'm going to guess that this servant was probably one of the higher ranking servants given this responsibility and given his reliability that he had in the service of his master. Folks, listen to me. When Jesus talked to that woman, she was brand new into the kingdom of God. And yet she went out and brought a whole town to Jesus. And these guys that had been working with him and living with him and walking with him and seeing the miracles with him and they had their own experiences of salvation, they didn't bring anybody from that town. And that's why I think he was a little upset with them. Just look at the wording that he uses. He wasn't happy. He said, "Guys, the harvest is ready to be picked and you didn't pick it. Open your eyes. Look." Now in our story that we read today, all through the story, the servant fulfills everything the master asks. His work is exemplary. His attitude is right on. Now let's wrap this up. We have a master. We are the servants of that master. Are we obedient? Jesus said that even as the Father has sent him, he said, even so, send I you. He says that we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have a job to do. This servant was obedient. He was attentive. And then the last part of his attitude is he was active. He was not a slothful servant. He was not a lazy servant. He didn't just go about his task and say, okay, I've got this list of names here. Okay, let me see. Let's go to this guy over here. Can you come to the meal? No, I have a piece of ground. Okay. All right. Got this one. Oh, man, this is a tough job. I got 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see. Yeah. OSHA says I get a 15-minute break. Folks, we need to be diligent. The day of the Lord is at hand. We don't know what hour he's going to come. He's going to come as a thief in the night. We need to be active servants. We don't be wasting time. We don't need to be dragging our feet. We need to be diligent about the work that God has to do. In John chapter 9, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We're supposed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. We're supposed to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. We're supposed to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We're supposed to do these things. We're not supposed to do them later. We're supposed to do them now. If you read through the book of Acts and you read through some of these epistles, did you notice that these apostles and this early church was not lazy about the gospel? They were on ships. They were on foot. They were on beasts. They were moving around from place to place, going from here to there, etc., etc., etc. If you just go through, my Bible has a great set of maps and different things about the apostles and about the travels and trips that they went on. Can I tell you something, folks? They covered a lot of ground in a little bit of time. Think about all the churches that Paul started and that Peter had to do with and these things. Think of all the people that got saved, all the pastors that needed to be trained, all the churches that needed to be set in order, all the things that needed to be done in all the little bit of time that they had. We need to be active. God didn't save us to sit. He saved us to serve. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Remember, not our will, but his will. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, he says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." As we close out tonight and as we continue on in our week of soul winning this week, again, this is just a special time of emphasis on this matter. And may I say to you this, you may not be able to come out during an organized time. Organized times are not the only times to go soul winning. And can I even say to you, they're not the most important times to go soul winning. Wish you to live a lifestyle of soul winning, day by day, hour by hour, etc. In the old days, I don't think that there were very many labor laws concerning masters and servants. They were always available. When I signed up for the United States military, you know what? They have a motto, 24/7/365. For those 4 years, do you know when I was a soldier? Or if you will, a sailor? Yeah. Every minute of those 4 years. Even while I was on leave. Didn't matter. I was still accountable under that uniform code of military justice. Didn't have any vacation. Even though, if you will, if I was on vacation, I was still part of the Navy. It's not different for us. We're Christians all the time. We're servants of God all the time. We ought to be ready and have the right attitude toward the Master.